Fresh Takes. Hello and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash Ketchum's Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up. Brandon, I suck at this. Hello.
It's okay.
Hello. We're talking Invincible Season 3, Episode 5. This was supposed to be easy. In an episode that wasn't so plot-driven, very character-driven. Some would like to say filler. I wouldn't use that term. We will talk about that because I've heard people like, oh, it's filler. It's like, no, you don't know what filler is. All right. Let's talk about it. So, short recap in this episode. This is very much a character-driven. We get a deep dive in Mark and Eve a little bit. We get a continuation of Titan and the Order. And it's been a few seasons since we've really seen a lot of Titan. And this is like a mostly Titan episode. Very similar to, I believe, episode 5 of season 1.
Yeah, the first time we see Titan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is like the sequel to that episode. Mm-hmm. So we have Eve and Mark are moving on very quickly in their relationship. They're talking about moving out, getting their own place so that, you know, more or less they can have sex without anyone noticing. And Oliver, guess what? He noticed. And of course, mom's not dumb. She knows. Mark and Eve, they're like, oh, we got to make money to go rent. So they start a company called Invincible Inc. Eve puts on her business jacket and glasses, yeah. Her very pink glasses, and then starts a whole company where more or less they're heroes for hire. You have Oliver making some friends while skateboarding with powers. He did not kill anybody. He just pants them.
Yes.
I also got to say, this is a very spoiler talking episode of Don't Evolve Me. Like always, I suck at spoiler warnings. I like how that's what made me think of spoilers. Oliver didn't kill people.
Didn't kill somebody. Yeah. Oh, no.
He just pants them. Spoiler alert. We have Titan being pressured by the Order, which is essentially, I don't even know what is the Order? Like the Guild of the World?
Like the Illuminati type thing.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of vibe, deep state, but like evil.
Mm-hmm. So Titan's being pressured by the Order. Mr. Liu wants Montipol out of prison. Titan, put in a tight spot, gets Mark's attention, who is now essentially the hero that protects the prison. There is an initial attempt to get Paul out in a very multiple, very gruesome. Multiple and duplicate talk about the whole ordeal. You get a bunch of, you know, their backstory, their lore, their philosophical differences of like why Kate's a hero, why Paul is an assassin. Titan works with Mark. They take down Mr. Liu in a whole, basically the whole thing was, don't underestimate Titan. Don't think he's dumb, because he will essentially, he has a plan on top of a plan on top of another plan that no one knows except for him and Isotope, typically.
Right.
And yeah, and Ray and Rex have a nice cooked meal together. Mark and Eve slow down romantically and Titan wins, and that's the episode.
Yep.
So I feel like a lot happens, but like nothing major happens.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely a slowdown from what we've had the last 4 weeks.
I would say this is very much like the slowest episode that we've had so far. Very character driven, but I enjoyed this episode. I think I enjoyed this moment, and this is like one of the reasons why sometimes I wish Invincible was longer than 8 episodes, because like we move at such a quick pace that this episode feels off-putting almost, because we're so used to like those quick pace episodes. But I'm actually really happy that we got this moment to just settle down with Titan. We get to carry on his story a little bit more. I'm happy that we got to know Duplicate and Multipole's backstory, where they were more or less, they were born with powers. Dad just couldn't handle it. Or that, at least that's the story that I got out of it.
Yeah, yeah. And then they get taken away and trained to work for the government or whoever took them.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Paul was more or less like, these guys are evil. They're just using us. So I'm going to go do my own thing. And then he more or less gets used by Mr. Lau as this really... And I will say, like, Paul as an assassin would just be terrifying.
Yeah, he's you can't underestimate that ability to infinitely copy yourself if you can use it creatively. I mean, he got out of that cell.
Well, let's talk about Multipole, because getting out of that cell was fucking gruesome. Duplicating your body to the point where, like, you just have this mass where like the door could not handle himself, and he's, and as stated before, I believe in season two, maybe season one, Kate talks about how, like, she feels every death. She experiences every death. She's immortal, is like the only one outside of her brother can even experience what death is like multiple times. Not trying, no pun intended there. And then you just see Paul essentially killing himself over and over and over and over and smushing his bodies just to break out of the this prison cell, only to get recaptured.
Yep. Just a pile of bodies left out of the cell after he crawls out.
Yeah. And I'm just like, he's a fearsome villain. Like, that's a hard villain. And like, I know Invincible just, like, unless you're, and we talked about this last 2 weeks ago. Unless you're someone like Invincible who can just kill a bunch of copies, like, that power is, like, almost unmatched. Mm-hmm. Like, if
the numbers do eventually.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Superman versus a million lions.
What do you think is their limit? Do you think they have a limit of how many bodies they can copy?
I mean, you'd assume there's got to be a limit of some sort to their power, but it doesn't. They've shown no limit so far, I don't think. Because I guess when Kate was fighting with the Lizard League, when she was getting all her parts, it looked like she was starting to struggle to separate even before, just from separating so much so fast.
Yeah.
So maybe she was getting worn down and couldn't keep separating.
Well, there's like a rate of duplicating that you can do. Again, try not to be so punny. But there's only so much. Like, you can only copy yourself so much in, like, in a certain amount of time. But it's still just the amounts that they can do. What is it, like, once every 3 seconds or something like that? It's almost instantaneously. So it's just a terrifying power. But it's really cool to get both of them and seeing just the difference. Kate, you know, she doesn't necessarily trust the government, but she believes in the cause. She believes in being a hero. And... Paul's the opposite. He would rather be an assassin, believes that it's more freeing than being part of, you know, that team, and it's interesting. So, but we have Mr. Lou. The first time we really got to experience him, like, fully.
Yeah.
And his...
they just, like, made the off mention about a dragon, and then all of a sudden, here he was.
Just a giant freaking dragon.
Yeah, some sort of magical dragon.
It's like the whole, like, my dragon is from your world, and he's like, you're a fictional character, and it's just kind of like, you're all fictional characters to us. But, like, isn't that just more terrifying? Like, you're a fictional character. It's like, okay, but, like, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, that means that they exist outside of reality.
Mm-hmm. But his power is just, like, terrifying that, like, he more or less, like, loses consciousness, and he becomes this spirit dragon that's essentially just, like, Fin Fang Foom, or, like, one of those other dragons, and then is very difficult to stop. Do you think Mr. Lu and, like, Omni-Man fought before?
I mean, I could see it happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially since he apparently is like immortal or something.
Yeah.
He brought back. That would explain, you know, losing to him.
Surprised that him and Cecil aren't like in acquaintances. At least after this whole
thing. Yeah.
You'd assume.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of Cecil, not in this episode. Really kind of weird that he wasn't in here.
He was mentioned. Mark mentions when mm-hmm. when Oliver goes missing right away, his first thought is, should I call Cecil?
Mm-hmm.
Even after everything.
Before we get into that, let's talk Oliver. Mm-hmm. Before we get into the further of the storyline. Oliver goes missing. Debbie's worried. Mm-hmm. He snuck out. And, of course, he does the typical kid. He finds friends. He plays with them. And this moment's so simple, but I thought it was a really important moment. Because I feel like it shows Oliver is like, he is just a kid. Like, he's growing at a rapid rate. He's going to be an adult within like a year. But at this moment of time, he's not a kid. He is a teenager. He wants to live his life. He wants to go out. He wants to be free. He wants that freedom. And the whole thing is Debbie doesn't, like, you know, if you're raising somebody who only has like a year or two of childhood, how do you adapt to that? But I think he's purple. But I think the biggest thing is like there's bullies. You expect the worst, and then he just pants them. And it's just like, and it's just a moment of like Mark and Eve like appreciating Eve's being this like, yo, just back off, back off, back off. And I'm like, you go, Eve. But I don't know. I just wanted to like mention it because like this is just a good show of character. I really like the scene. It doesn't like the context of itself doesn't matter, but I feel like just in the longevity of things, it's like that reminder of like Oliver. He's not human, but like he's very
just
human.
A kid.
He's a kid. He's humanized in this moment, even though he's not technically a human. I don't know what the word would be for
Thraxinized.
Viltrumized? That doesn't sound good.
That sounds bad. Yeah, that sounds bad.
Viltrumized is when he kills the Mahler twins.
Yeah.
Thraxinized is when he just gets really old really quickly. I don't know.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I just want to mention it. Let's talk about Mark and Eve. This is like the episode I feel like is just the whole self-own of, okay, they're going too fast. Let's slow them down. But I also felt like it was very natural because they're talking about moving in. And you're like, holy shit, you just started dating. You guys are very serious really quickly. I kind of like this, not 180, but this like change in their relationship. But now I'll be all honest. I don't know how I feel about the idea of Invincible Inc.
Yeah. The Heroes for Hire or the name.
Well, I mean, the name is what it is. I don't know what to say. It's like, okay, it's a very basic name, but also, like, he's pretty infamous. What else would you call it?
I mean, it helps people know that the blue-suited guy is the same guy.
Yep, there you go. See, it might be the best name you can come up with.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they say for podcasts, and obviously, I don't do that. And we don't do that here at Don't Evolve Me podcasts. But they say if your name is really well known, don't call your podcast anything other than your name podcast. Because that's how people will find it. So, I don't know. But I always, like in the comics, they did this storyline. And I was always just like, I don't know how I feel about Invincible Inc. Because I'm like, how do you monitor that? Like, how do you, it's like, who pays you is where you go. But, like, you would have to be on call all the time immediately. And I know Mark's, like, more or less been that. But you don't necessarily get to pick and choose between emergencies. It's, hey, if the world's going to end or if this state is going to get blown up by a nuclear bomb or, hey, this prison, is there's a breakout happening, which one would you do? It's I don't know. I've always questioned the idea.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the prison, prison break in Titan. Titan starts attacking the prison, immediately works Mark up like, hey, help me out here. Paul's going to escape. We can't have him escape. Mr. Lou's going to attack, yada, yada. And the entire time they're like, Titan's smarter than what he is. Don't underestimate me. And God damn it, I underestimated him. Because I forgot about like his overall plan. I'm just like, he's getting his butt kicked. How is he winning this? And then like the twist at the end is Machine Head's like, he cut a deal with him. And yeah. Isotope again betrayed.
Yeah, the triple betray.
Triple betrayed and ended up killing Mr. Liu in a really distracting fashion. And I was just curious, like, God damn, that dragon is like invincible. Like that dragon is do. That's where I'm going to put the sound right there.
I wonder if, because like Superman has like not necessarily a weakness to like magic stuff, but he's not like impervious to magic and stuff like that. And I wonder if there's some sort of connection there, because he got pretty wrecked by this giant dragon thing.
I mean, if a dragon can't feel pain, and it's a spirit, how do you hurt it?
That's true. But it'll hurt him pretty good too, though.
Yeah,
you bit right into him.
Yeah, it looked nasty. This is like the second time he's got like bit like right in front.
Yeah, like big holes in his chest.
Mm-hmm. And like that's the thing about Viltrumites; they're not like impervious to damage. They just heal super quickly. It's very hard to kill a Viltrumite. And the last little, well, two little bits. Mark and Eve, they decide to slow it down, and then Ray and Rex have their meal. And I really like that scene between the both of them. I'm enjoying their little side arc, their little, like, you know. Yeah, and like it didn't happen in the comics. Ray was a man in the comics, died during that moment, and I like this change. And I think that, like based on like what the internet is talking about, they too are enjoying this change. I keep seeing articles like there's this one minor change in the comics, and it's for the better.
Yeah,
and it's literally just, you know, Ray's still alive, Ray's a female, and Ray and Rex are having a moment together. That's kind of nice. I had a feeling that was where they were going to go with that. Rex was going to pick it up and, you know. All right. Let's move on to the segment. I got some questions. I don't think I think I'm only at 10.
Questions?
Yeah, it was actually pretty light for me.
Rapid fire. Let's go.
Rapid. Oh, yeah, it's 11. I've already asked a few. All right, question number one. Is this a banger? The season of bangers.
Is this episode a banger?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think you can not say that it's the weakest episode of the season so far.
Wait, you're saying it is?
Saying it's the weakest episode of the season so far.
Mm-hmm. Like in terms of like rating or in terms of like intensity?
Well, intensity for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. But I would also argue that if like we did another story, another show, and it was based off Titan, in a way, this is Titan's finale. This is Titan's banger.
Big moves. Yeah, big moves.
I mean, he fought a giant dragon, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but a
fictional dragon.
Yeah, but the consequences, they didn't feel.
Well, maybe not for Mark. It's just another day for him.
Yeah.
He did get three months of rent.
It's true. He got fat stacks of cash to live off of now.
All right. Filler?
I mean, filler is such a term thrown around these days. I mean, it happened in the comics, right?
It did.
The story happens in the comics.
It did, very much so.
That's not filler.
I know. When it doesn't like serve the main plot, like if it doesn't advance the plot like directly, it's always like, oh, it's filler. Oh, it's a filler episode. I'm like, that's not what filler is.
No.
Filler is adding more that doesn't, one, doesn't benefit the story, and two, it's not like part of the comic.
Yeah, that's this, like the main technical definition for filler is non-canon.
Or people are like, oh, it's a bottle episode. It's like a bottle episode is literally characters are in one space to save the studio money. Doesn't make sense for animation to do that. Unless not it's really literally the background.
The joke, yeah, or it's like the joke of the episode, like with Family Guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not really a filler episode. It's a character-driven episode. It's a, we're not advancing the plot, like, directly forward. But are we happy, this is question number three. Are we happy we got a more character-driven lore episode?
I mean, I'm not mad about it.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, for me, it's one of those, I enjoy the lore. I enjoy learning more about the stories. And it's one of those, when you only have 8 episodes, where do you place it?
That's true. I mean, I'm definitely intrigued by the whole order and stuff like that. But, like, aside from these two, like, episodes, it doesn't really feel like they actually have any impact on the world.
Mm-hmm. I honestly forget in the comics where their impact is. It's one of those, it's nice to fill out the world, but it's like, I don't know what they do with the overall story.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, like, it feels nice to get, like, that understanding, that background. Yes. And I also really like Titan as a character, at least in this show. Mm-hmm. The comic book, which you can't actually quite see it too much. There it is. There he is. The comic book, he was okay of a character. He wasn't like one of my favorites. He wasn't like super memorable. I will say, especially with Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man now being officially done with season one, like the finale is out, I thought it was a really interesting comparison between the two, because Titan is more or less Tombstone from Spider-Man. Same similar powers, same similar
Upraising story, you know, like the reluctant gang member.
Yeah, the reluctant gang member who can get a really tough skin. And your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man features Tombstone, like, very heavily. Really enjoying that character. And the finale, there was a moment, the two-episode finale, where Tombstone and Spider-Man team up. Really cool action scene. It's like the action scene that made it a 5 for me. And then, like, the next day, literally a day later, we get Titan Mark teaming up. And it's like a very similar relationships. Mark physically is Superman. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to, like, his personality, he's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, he's just Spider-Man. And they even had a team up. Like in Marvel Comics, Invincible Spider-Man. Obviously, you know, he was Agent Spider was part of the show, the kind of mimic that from the comics. So yeah, like, it's just a really cool comparison back and forth, but it's also like, is this plan? Like, we're getting a very heavy, like, Tombstone-ish run this
push.
Week.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's almost like the same character, but they're very close, but they're not the same. I don't know. I enjoyed it, though. I enjoyed learning about these characters. I enjoyed seeing it. I enjoy finishing the Titan storyline or progressing it. This is where I wished it was just a little bit longer so we had more of those moments. Because I think they did it really, really well. It's just, you know, we're just rapid pace. It's like, what's the next thing? It's like, okay, this wasn't as big. But even though, like, this might be a finale in other TV shows. Mm-hmm. All right, we kind of answered this already, but is Invincible Inc. a good idea for Mark and Eve?
Yeah, I mean, they got to make money somehow. And I don't know how else you monetize your skills like that so easily.
That is a question in superheroes. Like, how do you monetize it? Heroes for hire. All right, number 5. Did Mark actually help the prison? I don't think he did.
I mean, he stopped more people from dying, I guess.
Like, I look at that, I'm like, Eve did more than Mark did in that whole thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She not saved, but, like, she reconstructed the prison. She put the people back in the prison.
Yeah, kept them all from escaping.
Except for Paul. Sneaky Paul. Just kind of...
Yep. Too many.
Mark didn't give a shit about the prison. He was just destroying shit left and right. Like, of course, he's getting hit by a giant dragon and he's breaking things. But I'm just like, what did the prison pay for here?
Right. Like, this is what would have happened. I mean, maybe even not as bad had Mark not been there, because he might have just came and broke out Paul and left, you know? Just take the one person.
It's like, ooh, maybe the prison didn't make it such a good idea. But then Eve came in and, like, reconstructed everything. And I'm like, okay, is it Invincible Inc. or is this Adam Eve Incorporated? Because, like,
yeah, right.
She's, I feel like she's more valuable in that aspect.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I do say, like, those two work really well. You have the guy who punches things and can essentially take on almost anybody outside of alien threats. And then you have Adam Eve there to repair.
Clean up after him.
What is it? It's like Tony Stark and what's the company that... What's the company in Marvel?
Not Sword.
No. It's not Wrecking Crew, but it's something close to that.
Yeah.
It was in Homecoming. But yeah, it's like Tony Stark in his own, like, you know, repair business. It's like, you destroy the city and now you're cleaning the city, but you're
paid to fix it.
Yay. It's not corrupt at all.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Oliver makes good choices. I don't know why that's a question. All right. Number 7. Titan is free. Machine Head is in charge. Now what with these characters?
I don't know. We'll see him in a couple more seasons. Sorry.
2 seasons later.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
It never really felt, you know, like I said, even the impact after the first time with Titan.
I mean, there's no way that Mark, like, actually, like, works with Titan again, right? Like, I think it's pretty clear, like, okay, 2 times now.
I mean, he didn't really work with him.
I mean...
Did he?
Yeah.
I mean, he was going to end up doing the same thing anyways. He already made a deal with the prison. Regardless of whether or not Titan spoke to him at all, he still would have been there when the dragon came.
He got used so easily, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't, like, outrightly used. Like, it didn't, like, hurt him, but it was kind of just, like, Mark definitely feels played here. Like, oh.
Yeah.
I help you, but, like, now you're... Adam Eve. She's pretty fucking badass, right?
Oh, your powers are crazy.
There was, like, moments in that animation where I was just kind of like, this just feels weird. It's super slow. Everything's just, like, very static. And then that final fight scene with, like, Adam Eve with the power suit and, like, the multiple sheets
turns
of
her into a giant. Yeah, turns her into a giant, like, battling ram and spins her around and smacks her into it.
Well, I'm like,
that was ridiculous.
I'm just like, okay, this is fucking dope. Like,
I can't imagine what that was like for her, though.
I don't think she was the ram. I think she just made the projection. She was still up in the sky. At least that's how I interpret it. I could be wrong.
It looked like to me that she put herself into that metal
ball
and then smashed out of it, and then was like she was in it while he was spinning around.
That could be. Those
are the vibes that I had. I was very like, that's wild.
Hey, man, don't judge how he smashes his girlfriend.
Let him cook.
Yeah. I don't know. I just really liked her powers. I'm just like, God damn. All right. This is why I fucking love this character. It's because in the comics, like, she has some pretty badass moments like this. And it's really cool to see it animated. She's essentially just Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Even though there's already a Green Lantern like character, she's
More powerful than Green Lantern though, because she can make her stuff real. Well, yeah, I mean definitely. Because she can turn it into like real objects.
Yeah.
And stuff as opposed to just the projections.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mark and Eve, take it slow. Good call. Right call.
For
the show, for them.
Yeah, for the show, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For them, probably too.
I just feel like this is the comic in the show, just being like, okay, we're going to push it, now we're going to pull it back. They're together now.
Yeah.
We're going to be less in your face about it.
Yeah.
Or will they?
Yeah, hopefully.
Is Debbie in the right for wanting Mark to stay?
Yeah. I think normally, I mean, it's a weird situation, but because it's such a weird situation, I think, yeah, absolutely.
I like initially, right? Like, you're in college, you want to move out, and like, that's, she did the right thing of saying, like, it's your decision, you do what you want. But I also feel like it would also be in her right to be like, no, you're not going to put this kid on me and then go move out.
And then I have to, try to keep up with this superpowered child. Yeah.
On top of the fact that, like, you know, your dad is gone, I'm alone. I think it was right. And I really like that they showed that moment. Ray and Rex. We liking this arc?
Yeah, I'm getting tragic ending vibes, though. Pretty hard. Yep. Yeah.
I'm not saying anymore.
Yep. Yeah.
I also am getting the same little vibes too. Yeah. I will say that. But maybe not. I don't know. I'm really liking the romance.
Yeah.
I hope it continues.
It's nice to see Rex being nice to somebody.
I really love that growth from Rex, just as a person. It's cool to see. All right, Mr. Liu, is he making a comeback? He's not dead. Maybe.
I'm sure. I'm still not sold that it's got anything to do with Invincible.
I don't know either. I forget. Yeah. I honestly forget. Like,
yeah.
But I don't know. I don't mind the side stories. It's a side quest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Side quests are fun. Titan's fun. Titan's like one of the favorite characters from season one. He was like, that was like one of the better episodes outside of like
that. That is true. In the first season, especially, you know, I mean, that's when we get introduced to Battle Beast.
Everyone's favorite.
Yep.
Also mentioned in this episode.
Yes. Yeah.
My space kitty.
Yeah.
And the machine voice. My space kitty. Oh, that's a horrible impression. I take it back.
You gotta like auto-tune yourself while you're talking.
I try to do it naturally. I guess that's the whole point, not to do it naturally.
Yeah. Very unnatural. I tried. All
right, rating. Well, I'm...
Three plus, I mean.
I have four, maybe four minus. I don't know. I still think this was great.
I'm not quite there.
Not quite there.
It was fun.
Another
fun episode.
I think this is an episode we'll all forget.
Yeah.
But I also think we'll remember a lot of the information from this. Like, it's one of those, like, it's necessary for the lore. It's necessary for, like, understanding certain characters and what they do in the future. And I'm not even saying this as, like, oh, this point and this point and this point will happen later in the comic book. I'm not really pulling from there. It's just really cool to get, like, that next continuation of Titan. It was cool to get, like, more of an understanding of the underworld in this world. It was just, I don't know. I just enjoyed learning more about the characters. And I thought the story was good enough for it to be entertaining. But with only 8 episodes in the season, I do understand why people would not like this episode. So I'm like, it's still a 4, but it's...
Yeah, I wouldn't say I don't like it. I'm happy we got it, but ready to kick it up a notch again.
Oh, it's going to kick it up the notch. All right, let's... NBC, or should we do the fan favorites? Let's talk too much about episode titles.
Your choice. What do you want to do first?
Let's do the episodes, and we'll get into NBC, MVP. All right. We're switching up a little bit.
Okay.
So this, because usually this is what we end on. And you know, we're going to end on it, because I feel weird not doing it. MVC. MVP, okay. And then we'll get into that segment.
Okay.
MVC, I'm kind of... There's like two or three I'm considering here.
from this episode?
I think I have my one, but I'm still debating in my head. I have seven listed.
You always just list everybody that was in the episode.
Oliver's not on my lists.
Oh, excuse me. I'm dying.
All right. Number seven is Duplicate. I just really liked her story part of it. Her little cameo. Number six is Debbie. Important part. Number five is Rex, because if Rex is in the episode, he's on the list. It's just how Rex works.
We have made that canon now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Number four is Mark for me.
Number four. Okay.
This is probably the lowest I'll ever put him on an MVC. I just didn't think he was, at least in an episode that like he's a main-ish character. I don't know. He was just there. He's just doing main character things.
Going through the mm-hmm. motions. That's kind of what it felt like this episode.
Yeah, it wasn't about him.
Big monster. Yeah.
Number three for me is Paul.
Hmm.
Did you know Simeon Liu, who was doing the voice of Paul?
Yeah.
Shang-Chi?
Yes.
I didn't, like,
from before.
A monologue moment when he was in the prison talking to Kate, and I didn't realize it was him, but then I just, like, heard that character talk, and just, like, where did I hear this voice before? And, like, that's Shang-Chi. Simeon Liu.
Shang-Chi.
And I just, I don't know. I think just like realizing that and then like just hearing him talk and that character being played out more, really liked it. I'm like, it's one of the better parts of this whole episode. Number two for me is Titan. But I also feel like he could be number one.
Yeah. And that's what you put number one.
My number one is Eve.
Okay. Mm. I could see switching those two. For this episode.
Here's why I have Eve number one. One, the coolest part of the episode was when is her animation part. Just like just fucking dope. Like awesome. She's also like the one who created Invincible Inc. She's the one who had the idea, and she's really the one who did all the cleanup work and made it really worth it.
Yeah.
Titan deserves it as well. And you can almost give this co. I don't know. Titan had a whole master plan, but I also he wasn't at the face of it. He was kind of in the background doing everything. And he also wasn't one of the main players who did all the things. He more just organized it. Isotope is the one who killed him.
That's true. Isotope, Machine Head's the one that killed him.
Oh, right. But Isotope is like more or less the reason why it happened. If Isotope's not there, Machine Head doesn't go down. If Isotope's not there, Mr. Liu doesn't go down. If Titan's smart, he would just kill Isotope.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the slippery bandit there.
He is. Very slippery. So, I don't know. Did that convince you? Is it Eve?
Sure.
Yes!
Okay, we'll give her one. We'll give her one.
And this is another reason why, because MVP. Most valuable villain. This is where I put Titan.
Yeah. I mean, he wins.
He wins. He had the master. I just really like the arc of, like, don't underestimate me. And then, like, that's what happens every single time. And I just love Machine Head at the end. Was just like, shouldn't have. Don't underestimate that one.
Yeah. He's a lot smarter for somebody that's brain is half full of rocks.
I just like it at the end. Like, oh, he learned his lesson. I also just like the whole, like, can I have my autonomy? And he's just like, you caught me in a very giving mood.
Mm-hmm.
So I am curious to see where it goes, but I don't know if it's like this huge thing for Mark. But I do like the side story. All right, now we can get into it. Let's talk too much about episode titles. This episode title was, this was supposed to be easy. I'm kind of confused where this is coming from. Who said this?
What I was thinking was maybe it's the job of protecting the prison and keeping prisoners in there.
Mm-hmm.
I figured it'd be easy, you know, stopping some random supervillains from breaking out. Didn't expect to go against a giant dragon that almost kills them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's
fair. That would be my guess. Yeah.
That's a pretty good guess. I couldn't really think of anything else. All right. 6, 7, and 8. I do have a prediction of, I think, what's going to happen. I did look. I finally was like, what order did events happen in Invincible? So I looked it up because there's 3 things I'm expecting in this season still. 3 big moments.
3 big episodes.
Powerplex, which rumored is number 6, which is all I can say is I'm sorry, which if you know the comics, it matches. And remember, Aaron Paul is the voice of Powerplex. Jesse.
Forget.
Oh, yeah. Science, bitch.
Gotta hit it at least once.
Number 7. What have I done? And I think I know what this episode is talking about, and it's not the consequences of Powerplex. I think episode 7 is the episode that I keep talking about.
Okay.
The ghost. Keep,
you're just trailing me along here.
I am.
It keeps not happening.
I thought it was going to happen mid-season finale. It did not. It did not happen last episode. I keep waiting for it. They keep teasing it indirectly. I think it's episode 7. Because I looked at the order of things. It does happen before Conquest. And I'm pretty sure Conquest comes in episode 8. So, Powerplex episode 6. Ghost of Angstrom Levy in episode 7. Conquest episode 8. And if this is what happens, holy fuck. The last 2 episodes are earth-shattering.
Here for it. Here for it.
Yeah, I'm. You're not ready.
That's what I like to hear.
More just like one particular moment, but I'm excited. It's such a brutal part in the comics, and it's really. I read an article today too, talking about like Invincible, and they're like, "Oh, this is the moment where like shit gets real," and I would agree. When Conquest comes, that's when shit gets like anime level of fights. And I'm excited for it. I'm all here for it.
Did you hear that?
All right, Mr. Meme. Thank you very much. I think that's all we have. Or we made it under 45 minutes.
Solid. Yeah.
I'm not used to doing this. It's usually 30 minutes too often. Over.
Yeah.
No. All right. Well, thank you, Brandon. This is your host. Signing off.